gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. It is written, what have we to do with you, thou Son of God? It is written, arise and take up thy bed and go unto thy house. It is written, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? It is written, is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? It is written, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. And when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then saith Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he gave him no answer, not even to one word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he can love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. For me it was in the garden he prayed, not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. In pity the angels beheld him, and came from the world of light, comfort him in the sorrows he bore for my soul that night. When with the ransomed in glory, his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. God is just a prayer away. And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message. Marvelous Jesus. Seven times in the gospel record of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Lord Jesus Christ is referred to as marvelous. The first time is in the Gospel according to Luke, as an eight-day-old baby in the temple at Jerusalem, when his parents marveled at the things that were spoken concerning him. The baby Jesus was brought into the temple at Jerusalem for circumcision when he was 8 days old. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and it had been revealed unto him through the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And when Mary and Joseph brought in Jesus to do concerning him after the custom of the law, Simeon received him into his arms and said, now, Lord, lettest now thy servant depart in peace. For I have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared for all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Mary and Joseph must have marveled again at those words of Simeon. Those words of Simeon should make us all marvel. No one is prepared to die until they have met the Lord Jesus Christ. Only then can it be said, as in Luke, he was carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Only then can it be said, as the Psalm 116, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Only then can it be said, as in Romans 14, for whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Only then can it be said, as in Revelation 14, Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And then there is that word in the 33rd Psalm, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Ladies and gentlemen, for the Christian, death is only a shadow. And then there is that other mysterious statement of Simeon that must have caused Mary to marvel. Yea, and the sword shall pierce through thine own soul, that thoughts out of many hearts may be revealed. The knowledge concerning Jesus is inexhaustible. So go back again and continue to read the story over and over again and again, and the more you read it, the more you will marvel at the things which are spoken concerning him. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love to me. The second marvel is when they marvel at his power to forgive sins on earth. A man, sick of the palsy, had been let down through the roof because the crowd blocked the entrance. Jesus told him, Be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven thee. Some of those who saw it thought to themselves, This is blasphemy. No one can forgive sins but God. Jesus said, Which is easier to say, Thy sins are forgiven, or to say, Arise and walk? But that you may know the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins on earth. He told the sick of the palsy to take up his bed and go unto thy house. In other words, this man was not to walk a few steps and stop. He had to walk and keep on walking. Walk all the way home, don't stop. When they first brought the man with the palsy to Jesus, they would not let him in. Now that he is healed, they were anxious to let him out. No doubt they wanted to see if he could really walk. Would he fall flat on his face after a few steps? That is why Jesus told him to walk, and walk all the way home. The critics could see this was the real deal. Is there not a lesson here for us? Paul says, When we were buried with him in baptism, we arose to walk in a newness of life. So, walk on, walk on, walk on, and don't stop walking. Keep on walking all the way home. Jesus had authority to forgive sins on the earth during his ministry on earth. However, forgiveness of sins on earth is the only place our sins are forgiven, and not after we die. I went to a funeral home to visit one time, and the bereaved, and while there was someone there, invited the mourners to gather around the casket, and prayer would be made for the soul of the deceased. If the deceased was not forgiven before he died, he would not be forgiven after he died. Jesus said while on earth, Ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. When we die, we are either dead in Christ or we are dead to sin. The story of the rich man and Lazarus indicates that after death, there is no change in a person's destiny. Paul tells us in Hebrews that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. When the multitudes saw it, they marveled, and we can sing about it. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Now the third time they marveled was during the storm on the Sea of Galilee. And the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Sometimes the weather has an effect on plans we make, and those plans have to be altered. We don't read too much of the weather in the life of the Lord during his sojourn on earth, but it is not to be ignored. John mentions the weather when he said on one occasion it was winter, and Jesus was walking in Solomon's porch. It may have been cold, and the Lord was walking back and forth to keep warm. But their question, "What manner of man is this?" needs to be considered. Jesus was a man like us, and was born just like us. Luke 2 tells us, "She brought forth her firstborn son. What manner of man is this?" His body had growth just like ours. Luke 2 again says, "And the child grew and waxed strong, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. What manner of man is this?" He knew what it was like to live in poverty. He said, John 8, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the heaven have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Who can tell how many times Jesus and the apostles had to sleep outside in freezing weather? What manner of man is this? He could be just as tired as any of us. John 4 says, "Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus by the well." What manner of man is this? He was like us. He could weep at the passing of a loved one. A good friend, Lazarus, died in John 11, and it says that Jesus wept. But the storm on the Sea of Galilee is a different matter. Although the weather affected the boat and the apostles who were experienced seamen, the storm had no effect at all on the Lord Jesus. He slept through the whole thing. He was asleep in the hindermost part of the ship on a pillow. In this case, the weather did not affect the Lord, but the Lord did affect the weather. His effect on the storm is very significant. Modern-day man has invented many things, but nothing has ever been invented that controls the weather. We are at the mercy of the weather. But in this case, the weather was at the mercy of Jesus. When the frightened apostles awakened the sleeping Christ, he arose and rebuked the winds and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The bottom line of this story is the fact that the apostles did not need to awaken Jesus. They were perfectly safe, storm or no storm, because, as the gospel song says it, "No storm can swallow the ship where lies the master of wind and sea and sky." Oh, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be, how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love to me. And now the fourth time they marveled was the story of Legion that follows immediately when they landed safe on the other side. Here he comes, a man who says he has a legion of demons. Jesus cast out the demons from the man no one could control. When the townspeople told the Lord to leave, he did what he always does. If you don't want him around, he will leave. And Jesus left them as he was getting into the boat with the apostles. Legion wanted to leave with him. Jesus told him to stay where he was and go home and tell your friends what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had compassion on you. That is what Legion did, and all men did marvel. That is where evangelism begins for us. Go home and tell your family and friends what the Lord has done for you and how in his compassion he could save even you. I do not know the particulars of his evangelistic efforts, but maybe Legion was walking down the street one day. Someone saw him on the other side and yelled at him, "Hey, Leege! What happened, man? Last time I saw you, you were running around naked, hollering like a crazy man, living in the graveyard, scaring everybody to death. What happened, man? Legion said, I met Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, and I don't do those things anymore. The Lord made a big change in Legion's life, and he wanted everybody to know it. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How wonderful is my Savior's love to me. Now the fifth time they marveled at the Lord was when they marveled at his knowledge. How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? At the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus went up to the feast, into the temple, and taught. They marvel, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? One answer to the source of his knowledge is in Isaiah 11. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Actually, Jesus gave a very direct answer at that time when they asked the question. He said, My teaching is not mine, but his that sent me. The doctors of the law were all there, and Jesus was teaching them. He had no obvious credentials. He had never been to school. He did not even have a high school diploma. It would be like someone today who had never been to the first grade, showing up at the most prestigious seminary and teaching theology. One might wonder if any of the older doctors of the law that day remembered a day about 20 years before, when a 12-year-old boy showed up in the temple and confounded them with his questions and his answers. It appears that Jesus had all the knowledge of God when he was 12 years old. The wonder of the knowledge of the Lord is in Romans 11. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past tracing out! For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and unto him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. How wonderful, how marvelous, and my song shall ever be. How wonderful, how marvelous is my Savior's love to me. And when they heard it, they marveled and left him and went their way. The Pharisees had sent a delegation to ask Jesus a foolproof question on the next evidence of their marveling at him. Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? If Jesus says yes, he stands condemned by the Jews who object to paying taxes, even though they were forced to do so. If he says no, he's in trouble with the Romans for being a rabble-rouser. Either way he answers, he stands condemned. Jesus asked them to show them the tribute money, and they brought to him a coin. Jesus said, Whose is this image and superscription? They said, Caesar's. Jesus said, Render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. And when they heard it, they marveled and left him and went away. Actually, their tricks were sometimes rather vicious. Isaiah records in his 28th chapter, We have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. In verse 18 is the Lord's reply, Your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. People who quibble about obedience to the word of God are still at it today. One of their favorite foolproof questions regards the plan of salvation. All of my ministry, when we read the scripture about being immersed in water For the remission of sins, people have gleefully asked the question, but suppose you are in a desert and someone wants to accept Christ. How can they be immersed? Well, if people are living in the desert, obviously they have access to water. In recent years, thousands of our armed forces have lived in the desert, and it is a sad, depressing reality that some are going to give their lives for their country. The military authorities have provided metal coffins for such purposes. One chaplain informs me and has shown me photographs of service people actually being immersed in those metal coffins in the desert. Actually, a baptism under those conditions provides a powerful lesson to the real meaning of baptism. Did not the Apostle Paul say, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him in baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." And when they heard it, they marveled and left him and went away. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love to me. And now for the last of the seven marvels about Jesus. And he answered him not a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Matthew tells us, and when Jesus was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave them no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?" And he gave him no answer, not even the one word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Isaiah 42, verse 2, gives us the reason why Jesus remained silent. "He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the streets." And then Isaiah 53 tells us, "He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth." Jesus made no reply to any of the charges made against him. The Lord knew also that the decision of Pilate would be political. Talking to them would be the same as speaking to a stone wall. So Jesus held his peace. Ladies and gentlemen, there comes a time in the lives of many people when the Lord cannot get through to them. He said in Genesis 6:3, "My spirit will not always strive with men." Many prefer the way Pilate got rid of the problem. He called for water and washed his hands before the multitude and said, "I'm innocent of the blood of this righteous man. See ye to it." His declaration of innocence was his own personal plan of salvation. The Bible plan is still the same the day the church began. "Repent ye, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love to me. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast, brought to you each week at this same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45. 142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord. Pass the ammunition. Until next week at this same time, tell somebody somehow in some way that God is just a prayer away.
God is just a prayer.